Hello. Welcome to BSP, Believer Skeptic Podcast.
A podcast for two idiots debate weird phenomena.
I'm Chris. I'm the believer.
I'm Cody. I'm the skeptic.
And if this is your first time listening to us, we are an LGBTQ paranormal comedy podcast, and this is a minisode.
Yeah, and I usually explain it. Do people know by now? I guess I'll see if I can do it in one sentence, what these are. So for our minisode, we release them every other week with a full episode. Oh my God, they're taking forever going the alternate weeks. The minisode is one story a piece, teasing our upcoming full episode topic where we'll get into history, lots of stories, believer skeptic portion. There we go. Are you
okay?
That
was definitely not one sentence.
It was not, but you're like rubbing yourself. I guess Chris is getting ready for our Valentine's minisode.
Anywho, so...
Are you okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Is your shoulder hurting?
No, I'm fine.
Oh, are you really prepping yourself?
No. Anyways, okay. So a couple of things, I guess. We first have a giveaway that we got to announce, but I'll let Cody talk about that.
Yay! Okay, so my book is actually launching...
Tomorrow.
Oh, tomorrow, the same day of this minisode.
Yeah.
Ah! So Chris and I have been talking, and he had a really good idea that I'm actually going to do a book one giveaway to kind of celebrate the trilogy being out. And so I'm going to be giving away 5 copies of the book. We're going to be posting on Instagram, and that's where it'll kind of live. And so if you're interested,
and
if you just want to support us, and Twitter, if you just want to support us or you want to see it or you have someone you know who might enjoy an LGBTQ young adult novel, come in and join that, and you can see the details there. So we'll be announcing that. It'll start up over the next week, and it'll run through the end of the month.
Yeah, so you just go to either our Twitter or actually Facebook or Instagram, and it'll be on all three, so you can see how you can enter to win.
Yeah. So cool. Well, that said, I mentioned it very briefly with this mini, so that we've done a Valentine's special the last 2 years,
uh-huh,
and they're super fun. And so we want to do a Valentine's episode again. So this is the minisode for it. And I think we're going to have, I think it's going to be fun. What do you think?
It'll be interesting for sure.
Yeah. Well, with that said.
So definitely these are not safe for work. Not that our podcast ever is, but this one in particular, these two. So
agreed. I was about to say, do we do trigger warning? But this is more, yes, NSFW is the way to put that. Yeah. You might want to put your headphones in if you're at church listening. So do you want to go first?
I went first the last 2 times, I think.
Oh, okay. Well, then I guess I'll start us off. Okay, this is a story that I found on Reddit, and we'll see if you can kind of figure out what it is. I would say that this story is not paranormal.
Uh-huh.
The episode is, but this is just so funny and just silly that I just wanted to read it. So this is called, the title of the Reddit post was, "I don't want to take part in my girlfriend's honeymoon ritual on our wedding night, but I still want to marry her." This is from user Throw Raxel 2, Raxel Rose, and was posted 8 months ago. So it's pretty new.
Uh-huh.
So here we go, getting into it. So I'm 23. I was waiting for an...
Right. Plus times two.
The carrot. What? Oh, that's actually really close.
Yeah.
In May. Getting married to my girlfriend, who's also 23, early next year, if all goes to plan. I don't have a lot of family. I have no contact with my dad for several years now. She, however, has a huge extended family, and for the most part, we get on great. They tend to be very loud and have huge personalities, which is sometimes hard for me to deal with since I've always been on the quiet side. So it sounds like that typical introverted, extroverted, mm-hmm, kind of opposites attract kind of thing. But they say that overall, they're very warm and caring people. Something weird I've noticed since we got married is that my girlfriend's cousins sometimes make jokes about our wedding night. It's weird for them to joke about it since I'm pretty sure her family is aware we've already slept together before, since we share a bed at holiday gatherings and vacations. A few nights ago, we were discussing wedding plans and thinking about places to go on our honeymoon if COVID clears up and we can travel by then. My girlfriend and I were brainstorming when she tells me that we won't need a bridal suite right away. Obviously,
what?
Yeah, and I'm like, obviously, I ask why. We're getting married at a pretty nice hotel, by the way. And she says that she'd like for us to stay at her parents' house. So the person says, "I don't really mind this. We're trying to save money for a house deposit anyway. but the girlfriend seems like she has more to say. So I push for why she wants to do it this way. She tells me that there's a really old tradition in her family on the wedding night. And this is it. The husband and wife go into the parents' master bedroom together, and they are supposed to consummate the marriage in that bed.
Gross.
Then, if that didn't sound weird enough, the rest of the family wait outside the door the entire time, and then they applaud and cheer them when they come out.
Ew.
You did it.
Gross.
Can you imagine standing outside the door,
no,
hearing your sibling having sex, like gross, moaning and stuff, like in your parents' bed?
That is a gross tradition. No, yeah, thank you.
And here, you ready? It gets one step further. Then a piece of the bed sheet is cut off and sewn into a big tapestry my grandfather's mother owns. Girlfriend's mother owns. So not only did all this shit, they're cutting off this soggy sheet.
Gross.
And they're making a quilt out of it. And so the quilt is probably just this salty piece of crap hanging on the wall.
It's all bloody.
Oh my God. Ah. Well, they've had sex before, so... Hopefully.
Doesn't mean
they haven't before. Oh, God. Ah, another image. I think my girlfriend saw I wasn't happy. Wow, surprise. Because she quickly told me that we wouldn't have to actually consummate the marriage if I felt uncomfortable and we could just pretend. So that's her solution.
No, thank you.
So you can just be inside the room like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Ooh.
No.
Ooh. Oh. Yeah. So naturally, the guy says, I don't want anything to do with this. I'm absolutely freaked out. And I told her, under no circumstances will I be doing that kind of thing in front of her whole family. When I came back from taking a walk to clear my head, she was noticeably acting down and still is. I think she's also been texting her family about this because I received a text from her mother telling me that I don't understand the importance of family and tradition.
Oh, gross.
And that this tradition has been around longer than I've been alive. I want to know how big this tapestry is. Like, how far this has gone back. Like, if there's like 70 pieces to this tapestry, well, I hope it's been in the washer. He says, I don't know how I'm meant to go on from here. I really love my girlfriend, and she is the woman I want to spend my life with. I'm freaked out, but she is my world. How should I handle her family and navigate this tradition?
I would be like, so this is how we break tradition. This is not happening.
Sometimes breaking tradition can be healthy.
Yeah.
And I can't believe that she's texting the mom and being like, getting a text saying this is bigger than you. This is family. Like, fuck you. Abuse happens in families. I didn't mean it needs to continue.
That's weird.
Yeah, it's super weird. And
that,
I don't know what's
gonna... That sounds like a big, huge red flag to me, if anything.
And, yes.
If the family's that involved, get the fuck out of
there.
In
your sex life. Yeah, and I want to know what originated it and what the purpose of it is. That's what I want to know. It's like, what is this accomplished doing this? Other than being weird. And if they're children, are they allowed to be a part of this?
It's, no.
Yeah, it's super weird. What I would do is, beforehand, record me and my girlfriend, just making noises, and then go into the room, hit play on the recorder, and then climb out the window. And be like, bam. Or maybe I would get a piece of tapestry sheet that cut off, but I would just like smear it with mayonnaise and make it like as disgusting as I
Ew,
could.
Oh, gross.
Like, and like put poop on it and stuff. Like all disgusting. This like fetish stuff.
Anyways.
But that is my story.
Anyways. So my story is actually from last year that I found on several different websites. So I guess you could call it legit.
If an article's on two or more websites,
it's
true.
Legit. Yes. Yeah. So last year, a group of Egyptologists from the University of Chicago translated an 1,800-year-old Egyptian papyrus that they believe is an erotic binding spell.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, the papyrus is not written in hieroglyphs, but instead is written in what is called ancient Egyptian demotic spirit. Script. Not spirit. Script.
I was like, what's that? Demonic?
Demotic.
Demotic.
Yeah.
Okay.
In what has been deciphered so far, the document was written for a female called Taromewe, who had it written in attempts to attract a man called Kephalos. In it, Taromewe invokes a ghost, quote, the noble spirit of the man of Necropolis, to find Kephalos to, quote, give to him anxiety midday, evening, and at all the time until he is overcome with the lust and seeks out Teramoe in his horniness with his male organs pursuing her female organs.
It's like a divining rod.
Yeah. This papyrus was found about 62 miles from Cairo and has been held in a collection at the University of Michigan since 1924. But this is the first time that it has been translated.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's crazy. So they've had this dirty, they probably think it's a sacred text.
Yeah.
And then they translated it and they're like,
Yeah. The images on the papyrus show the Egyptian god Anubis shooting an arrow at Kephalos, who is not only nude, but is shown with an enlarged penis and scrotum.
Oh, scratch what I just said.
According to research leader and professor of Egyptology, Robert Rittner, says his emphasized penis and scrotum surely are intentional, as the male organ she specifically wants to pursue her. The study also says that the image of a helpless, inflamed love continues in late Egyptian magic, and this papyrus exemplifies the characterization of such spells and subjugation rites with an emphasis on sexual domination rather than romantic love.
Huh.
So the engorged sex organs is meant to symbolize the physical desires for Teramoe. Yeah.
Well, wait, so a hard penis, that symbolizes desire?
Yeah.
What?
At one point in the spell, Kephalos is asked to travel across the Ursa Major constellation until he is wandering after Teramoe, and while there is no other woman on Earth whom he desires, as he madly pursues her. And according to research, the stars that make up the Ursa Major were a major metaphor in the lives of many Egyptians and astronomers in that time, referred to these constellations as the Indestructibles, as they were seen as portals to eternity and the afterlife.
Wow. Are you saying Ursa Major? So not major or minor, it's Major?
Major or Major, yeah. You can either say Major or Major.
Really?
Yeah, there's,
oh.
You can pronounce it either way.
Oh, I had no idea.
Yeah.
I was like, what is this word?
Yeah. On top
Oscar
of that,
Major? I don't know.
On top of that, Anubis is in Egyptology is the god of mummification and the afterlife, and in this spell is seen as a type of Cupid figure as he shoots his arrow into Kephalos. Rittner says that Anubis acts not only as an embalmer but as an armed guardian and gatekeeper in the underworld, so he is a natural figure to compel a ghost, which makes this spell so interesting. Oh, to compel a ghost, period. Oh. What makes this spell so interesting is that erotic binding spells were not uncommon in Egypt, but they were commonly used by men seeking out women. In this one, we find the woman pursuing the man, which, again, makes it quite unique.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Get it, girl.
According to Rittner, quote, women in ancient Egypt had far more rights than contemporary societies. This document is from the Roman period when all native Egyptians were at a social disadvantage, but it is clear that she, Teramoe, had sufficient economic means to hire a professional priest to draw up the magic spell.
Good.
Once written, according to researchers, the papyrus is most likely placed in a tomb where the, quote, ghost of the deceased was invoked to work the spell. So who was this Teramoe, and did the spell ever work? We really don't have the answer to either of these questions. But if anything, that's discovery and translation shows that love spells are not a modern invention and have been around for thousands of years, which leads me to believe that there may be a little more credibility to them than we think.
Oh, so, interesting.
Yeah.
Wow, I love that. Like, I'm so, like, you know, having women empowered is so much that even though she's doing this kind of creepy-ass thing that's,
yeah,
you know, kind of weird, I'm like, you go, girl. You get your man.
Yeah, so I think it's just kind of cool, like 1,800 years ago that's
going on.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it just shows that same thing that, you know, for thousands of years, and we've all had those moments where you just really fall for someone that you really want, and you just kind of almost lose your mind a little bit, you know, trying to get that person, and that's something that's like universal.
Then again, who knows what it really is saying, because, you know, it's just their best guess.
Yeah.
Theory.
I think with the accompanying drawings to go with it,
yeah,
they're probably fairly safe. Every time you said he shoots his arrow into her, I'm always like, that's what she said. Did you know, because we have a little bit of time, that my sister and her brother-in-law, speaking of which, they have a two-year-old, and she's so impressionable that they don't want to say anything that she's going to repeat. So anytime they want to say, that's what she said, instead they go, But it's so distinctive now, and they do it all the time, that it's like a thing, and it's just really funny.
She's gonna start doing that now.
At least, yeah, but at least she's not saying it. Could you imagine her at daycare going, "That's what she said"?
That would be funny.
Oh, we're gonna have to work this into our episodes though. Anyway, well, you think they'll be able to guess?
Probably.
I was like, oh, this one is a little easier
yeah.
than other ones. Well, everyone, that's it for us. Tune in and see if your guess is right. Make some guesses, though, on our Facebook and on social, yeah. and we'll see if you are correct. But tune in next week, and bye! Bye.